Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Hayat Panjwani. Israel says it's killed two of Iran's leading figures. AP correspondent Charles de la Desma has more.
The Israeli defense minister says that the Israeli military has killed top Iranian security official Ali Larijani in an overnight strike. Israel Katz made the announcement on Tuesday. The Israeli military also announced it had killed Golam Reza Soleimani, the head of the Revolutionary Guards Bajij militia, a key force used to suppress demonstrations in the Islamic Republic. The killings again strip away top Iran leaders after the February 28 strike that killed 86-year-old Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. I'm Charles de la Desma.
AP's Lisa Dwyer reports that Cuba's energy situation is worsening.
Officials in Cuba are reporting an island-wide blackout in the country of some 11 million people as its energy and economic crisis deepens. Cuba says there's been a complete disconnection of the country's electrical system and says it is investigating. While Cuba blames a U.S. energy blockade for the crisis, Cuba's aging grid has drastically eroded in recent years, leading to daily outages and an increase in island-wide blackouts. President Donald Trump warned in January of tariffs on any country that would sell or provide oil to the island and has hinted at a friendly takeover of the island. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Hundreds of flights were canceled or delayed one day after powerful storms swept across the eastern half of the country and upended air travel in a cross-section of cities. More than 750 flights scheduled to fly into, out of, or within the U.S. have been called off as of early this morning. About 1,300 were delayed.
Hundreds of flights are canceled or delayed a day after powerful storms swept across the eastern half of the country. The flight tracking site FlightAware says more than 750 flights have been canceled, with about 1,300 delayed. Travelers have been facing additional jams at airport security checkpoints as a partial government shutdown that began February 14th has added pressure on staffing at security checkpoints. TSA union leaders say that TSA workers are coping with eviction notices, vehicle repossessions, empty refrigerators, and overdrawn bank accounts, saying they would like a paycheck, not a rain check. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
More on APnews.com. This is AP News. AP's Ben Thomas reports a Utah woman who wrote a book on grief after her husband's death has been found guilty of murdering him.
We, the jury, unanimously find that the defendant, Corey Richens, is guilty.
Initially staring toward the bench, Richens appeared to gasp slightly and look to the floor as Judge Richard Mrazek read details of that verdict.
The homicide was committed for pecuniary gain, and the homicide was committed by means of the administration of any substance administered in a lethal amount, dosage, or quantity.
The jury accepting the prosecution's case that Richens poisoned her husband with fentanyl, slipping five times the lethal dose into a cocktail. They also found her guilty of fraudulently claiming insurance benefits. Curry self-published a children's book about grief after Eric Richens' death to help her sons and other children cope with the loss of a parent.
I'm Hayat Panjwani, AP News.
Shipping disruptions caused by Iran essentially stopping tanker traffic through the Strait of Hormuz have resulted in a potential shortage of fertilizer American farmers need for their crops. The rising cost of fertilizer is eroding profit margins. Seventh-generation Missouri farmer Tom Waters says he already has purchased most of his fertilizer for the spring planting season.
I've talked to my supplier about what we need. We've got some of it locked in. He's still having some struggles getting the fertilizer that he needs locked in.
Minnesota Farm Bureau President Dan Glessing says the length of the Iran war will determine fertilizer prices.
It does depend on how long this conflict keeps going.
Experts say the rising cost of fertilizer, coupled with an already bad farm economy, could push some farmers out of business. I'm Mike Hempen.
Vaccine news out of Boston. A federal judge has placed a temporary block on the administration's order to cut the number of recommended childhood vaccines. It's the latest development in a lawsuit filed by the American Academy of Pediatrics and other medical groups. The decision by Judge Brian E. Murphy halts an order by Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The judge says it's also likely that Kennedy violated federal procedures when he fired the entire 17-member Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. Kennedy replaced it with a group that includes several anti-vaccine voices. HHS spokesman Anthony Nixon says they look forward to the judge's decision being overturned. I'm Jennifer King.
The Supreme Court will hear arguments over a push to end legal protections for migrants from Haiti and Syria. The Trump administration is focusing on people fleeing war and natural disasters from countries around the world, including Haiti and Syria. The justices refused to immediately lift the protections, allowing hundreds of thousands of people to live and work in the country legally, at least for now. The government's position is the protections were meant to be temporary. The conservative majority court has sided with the Trump administration on the issue before and allowed the end of temporary legal status for a total of 600,000 people from Venezuela while lawsuits play out. Health officials say seven people in three states, including children, have been sickened by E. coli food poisoning. The cases are linked to cheddar cheese made with raw milk. The Food and Drug Administration says California-based Raw Farm made the cheese. That is the likely source. Illnesses were reported between September of last year and last month and include five in California and one each in Florida and Texas. Four cases were in children, three or younger. Two people had to be hospitalized. The FDA recommended Raw Farm voluntarily remove the raw cheese products from being sold. The company said no. The owner said there's no definitive link between their cheese and the illnesses. The CDC is urging people to consider not eating the products. Ed Donahue, Washington.
President Trump's White House chief of staff has been diagnosed with early stage breast cancer. The president announced Susie Wiles' diagnosis on social media and minutes later in the East Room.
A minor difficulty, which will be in good shape.
Wiles was sitting alongside.
She's going to take care of it immediately.
The 68-year-old Wiles is the first female White House chief of staff. She plans to stay on the job during treatment, saying in her own statement, nearly one in eight American women will get the same diagnosis. And she joins the ranks of those who keep working and raising their families. President Trump is both demanding other nations send warships to help keep the Strait of Hormuz open and insisting the U.S. doesn't need their help. The president says numerous countries are on their way without naming them, while suggesting others are not excited about the prospect.
The level of enthusiasm matters to me.
At the same time,
we don't need anybody.
Saying he's pushing nations to join the effort in part to see how they react, noting he's long said countries whom the U.S. has helped will not reciprocate when asked. The president also says he's surprised Iran attacked Gulf countries after the U.S. and Israeli strikes.
Nobody expected that. We were shocked.
Though Tehran has long warned it would retaliate on the entire Middle East if attacked. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Airport lines stretch through terminals and out the doors thanks to a partial government shutdown that forces TSA workers to stay on the job without pay, many making difficult choices about showing up.
As staffing challenges rise, passenger wait times will increase.
That's union leader Aaron Barker with the American Federation of Government Employees, which reps TSA workers. He was outside the terminal in Atlanta. Workers were holding up signs reading, "We want a paycheck, not a rain check."
Many are coping with eviction notices, vehicle repossessions, empty refrigerators, and overdrawn bank accounts.
Homeland Security saying last week more than 300 TSA agents have quit since the start of the shutdown more than a month ago. Democratic lawmakers have said DHS won't get funded until new restrictions are placed on federal immigration operations. Airport delays and cancellations pile up Monday in some of the nation's largest airports, including New York, Chicago, and Atlanta. Flyer Natasha Walker says she's lucky she made it home to Charlotte, North Carolina after a weekend in New York City.
While we was on the tarmac, people was getting off the plane, to find out that all the rest of the flights was canceled.
Meanwhile, New Yorker James Keller is stuck at the Charlotte airport thanks to the weather and has to get back home for work.
It's not even on the board, but most flights going to New York, even southern New York, are all canceled at this point.
AccuWeather says more than 200 million people were under threat Monday of some kind of dangerous weather, ranging from flood and freeze watches in the east, snow in the Midwest, and extreme heat in the West and Southwest. Extreme weather conditions from coast to coast putting 100 million people across the U.S. in the path of rough conditions. Storms across the nation's eastern half forced airlines to cancel more than 2,000 flights Monday. Many schools had to close in the mid-Atlantic states where high winds and tornadoes were in the forecast. Blizzards buried parts of Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, while torrential rains flooded homes and washed out roads in Hawaii. National Weather Service meteorologist Brian Hurley.
This is what happens in March and April, right? It's this clash in the air masses. Winter not wanting to let go, from the north. And then obviously the sun's getting a little stronger. It's warming up in the south.
And he says California is dealing with unusually high temperatures for this time of year. Union representatives say the strike at Swift Beef Company in Colorado is one of the largest since the 1980s. About 3,800 workers at the plant in Greeley hit the picket line Monday. The union says 99% of the workers voted to authorize the strike, seeking higher wages and better health care. One issue the union cites: the company charges many workers more than $1,000 each to pay for their safety equipment. Meanwhile, Swift Beef owner JPS USA says it complies with labor and employment laws, and any employee who doesn't strike will have work and be paid. Prosecutors drop a case against a New York man who has spent nearly 20 years in prison for a less than $600 robbery they now agree he did not commit. On Monday, the Brooklyn DA's office asked a judge to throw out 61-year-old Kenneth Winley's conviction and dismiss his indictment. He was arrested in 2005 after using what turned out to be a stolen money order to buy his mother a stove at an appliance store. Prosecutors say since Winley's trial, new evidence, including confessions from two other men who were convicted in similar robberies, supported his claim of innocence. Julie Walker, New York.
Remember Return to Nature, the Colorado Springs funeral home that let remains stack up until they liquefied and gave grieving families fake ashes? Former co-owner Carrie Halford has been sentenced to 18 years in prison, 2 years short of the maximum, after pleading guilty on one federal charge of conspiracy to commit wire fraud. Halford admitted she helped her now ex-husband John hide nearly 200 decomposing bodies, cheat customers, and defraud the government. She apologized for her actions, saying she was manipulated into the scam and scared of her now former husband. Prosecutors say instead of using $900,000 in pandemic business aid to invest in a new cremation furnace, the Halfords spent lavishly on vehicles, crypto, designer goods, and laser body sculpting. At the hearing, victim after victim urged the judge to impose the maximum sentence. Kelly Slosser, whose mother died in 2022, says, "She took my money, and instead of taking care of my mother, she took care of herself." Halford is also facing up to 35 years on related state charges when she is sentenced next month. I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Seth Soutell, and this is the AP Markets Report. A drop in oil prices helped send Wall Street to its best day since the war in Iran began. The S&P 500 rose 1% Monday. That was its biggest gain in 5 weeks. The index is now back within 4% of its record high. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 387 points. That's about 0.8%. The Nasdaq Composite rose 1.2%. The price for a barrel of benchmark U.S. crude settled at just above $93. It had gone as high as $102 in the morning. Companies that buy a lot of fuel did well. United Airlines rose 4.25%. The drop in oil prices also let bond investors feel a little less worried about inflation. The yield on the 10-year Treasury fell to 4.22%. Seth Soutell, New York.
Paul Thomas Anderson won big at the Oscars with one battle after another, but Sinners also landed major movie wins. In the shadow of those big movies, actor Amy Madigan ended a 40-year wait between nomination and winning for Weapons.
It's all the people who've helped me get here. You know, you're just, as you can tell, I'm a little flummoxed.
The show also honored Rob Reiner and Robert Redford in a long in memoriam section.
And for us, who had the privilege of working with and knowing him and loving him, all we can say is, buddy, What fun we had storming the castle.
Anderson, one of the most respected filmmakers of his generation, finally won an Oscar.
One battle after another.
Audio courtesy of AMPAS 2026. I'm Haya Punjwani.
The men's and women's basketball tournaments generate more wagering than any other event in the United States. The American Gaming Association estimates a record $3.3 billion will be legally bet on the games this year. The tournaments will tip off just 2 months after federal prosecutors announced criminal charges in a point-shaving scheme that allegedly involved six fixers, 17 former players, and four players who were active with their teams this season. Players are warned about associating with people seeking inside information about their teams or offering enticements to shave points. I'm Mike Hempen.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolball. Luka Doncic dropped 36 points to help the Lakers move past the Rockets into third place in the NBA's Western Conference with a 192 victory. Elsewhere, the Celtics held off the Suns 121-12 behind 41 points for Jaylen Brown.
What I think about when I had a ball is just be aggressive every time you have it and then, you know, live with the result.
Golden State Steve Kerr became the fourth fastest coach in league history to reach 600 career victories. College basketball, Alabama men's basketball guard Aiden Holloway has been arrested on a felony drug charge just days before the start of the NCAA tournament. A Tuscaloosa County Police spokesperson says the 21-year-old Holloway was arrested Monday after agents with the West Alabama Narcotics Task Force searched a residence near Alabama's campus and recovered more than a pound of marijuana, paraphernalia, and cash. The Crimson Tide's number two scorer was arrested on a first-degree charge of marijuana possession. The charge carries a penalty of up to 10 years in prison and a maximum fine of $15,000. Team USA will face Venezuela in Tuesday's World Baseball Classic title game after the latter's 4-2 semifinal win over Italy. MLB suspended Phillies outfielder Johan Rojas 80 games for a failed PED test. And NFL, the Jets agreed to trade QB Justin Fields to the Chiefs to serve as Patrick Mahomes' backup. Leaders at the World Anti-Doping Agency are considering adopting a rule that could bar President Donald Trump and all U.S. government officials from attending major international events, even if they take place on American soil. Major upcoming events include this summer's World Cup, the LA Olympics in 2028, and the 2034 Winter Games in Utah. The rule is on the agenda for the WADA's Executive Committee meeting Tuesday. The WADA has been the subject of bipartisan and virtually universal disapproval in Congress, both the Trump and Biden administrations and the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency. The NBA may move a step closer to adding teams in Seattle and Las Vegas next week when expansion will be again discussed by the league's Board of Governors. Two people with knowledge of the matter tell the Associated Press. It's expected that a vote on whether to go forward with those two cities as the sole targets for expansion takes place next week as well. The people spoke on condition of anonymity because those discussions were not released publicly. It would take a three-fourths majority of governors to go forward. I'm Gethin Coolball.
Rescue crews are still digging bodies out of the rubble of a drug rehabilitation hospital in the Afghan capital Tuesday morning after officials say an overnight Pakistani airstrike killed at least 400 people in a dramatic escalation of a conflict between the two neighbours that's now into its third week. Haji Najibullah, relative of victims, says, "My son and some of my relatives were admitted to this hospital for medical care. Last night, we suddenly received news that the Pakistani government had carried out bombings and everyone was displaced. We have no information about who's alive and who's buried under the rubble." The conflict that began last month has seen repeated cross-border clashes as well as airstrikes inside Afghanistan. International calls for a ceasefire have gone unheeded. Police in Nigeria say suspected suicide bombers have killed over 20 people and injured more than 100 in Maiduguri. The attack on Monday night is one of the northeastern city's deadliest in years. Residents and emergency workers reported three blasts in crowded areas, including a major market and the entrance to a hospital. No group so far has claimed responsibility for the attacks, but suspicion has quickly fallen on the Boko Haram jihadi group, which in 2009 launched an insurgency in northeastern Nigeria to enforce their radical interpretation of Sharia. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
France is ramping up its military presence in the Middle East in what its president is calling a strictly defensive move. French President Emmanuel Macron is also engaging with the main players in the conflict in a strategy that could position Paris for future diplomatic talks. France has sent its Charles de Gaulle aircraft carrier, 8 frigates and 2 helicopter carriers to the region. Macron said that the warships will help France respond quickly and evacuate citizens if needed. France hopes diplomatic efforts could bear fruit once the most intense phase of the conflict subsides, which could take weeks or even months. Meeting in Brussels on Monday, EU foreign ministers were discussing Trump's demand for warships to help protect shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. The foreign ministers of Germany and Estonia said they wanted more clarity on what the US and Israeli aims were for the conflict and when it would end. Germany also insisted that the war has nothing to do with NATO. EU foreign policy chief Kaya Kallas said Europe could consider expanding its naval operation in the Red Sea.
We also need to see what could be the fastest to provide this opening for the Strait of Hormuz. But of course, as you can see, it's not easy.
Meanwhile, Britain is discussing with allies the possibility of providing mine-hunting drones. The war is hurting international trade and has driven up energy prices. I'm Karen Shamas.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. You've sent so many emails to your tax pro and nothing. It feels like you're chasing updates. But now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax expert, so you actually know what's happening. You can match with an expert and just hand off all your tax stuff to them right in the app. So instead of guessing, you can feel confident your TurboTax expert's on it. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Only available with TurboTax experts. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.